welcome to the latest payments podcast, Winning with SEPA. What are the impediments to migration to SEPA? I'm here with Jonathan Williams, Director of Strategic Development at Experian. He's oversees innovation and works specifically within the payments industry and within strategic projects within fraud and authentication. So John, SEPA, the Single Euro Payments Area, is fast approaching, the deadline to it is fast approaching, getting close to the end date, which is February 2014. In your opinion, how well are we doing, and is migration to SEPA a complicated process as it stands?
So according to the latest statistics from the European Central Bank, only 35% of the credit transfers, and even worse, only 2% of the direct debits have been migrated across from domestic payment schemes to SEPA payment schemes. So we're not doing quite as well as we should do, and we've only got less than 10 months left. So we have a challenge ahead of us. Is SEPA migration complicated? Well, it depends. A large organisation with multiple departments might find that a more complicated task, but in essence, it's a fairly straightforward set of standards that a business needs to comply with. And of course, it needs to have conversations with its payment service providers to make sure it can send its data in the right format, in the right way.
In your opinion, what are the main stumbling blocks?
So businesses that have made the move to SEPA have actually seen some benefits from it. But many of them have found that they underestimated the scope of the project, which is, I suppose, the first main stumbling block. When they're looking at SEPA, they think purely in terms of payments, but actually it can have quite a large number of implications outside the simple payments initiation part. So it has implications, for example, on changing the stationery, on changing the websites, and changing the messaging to its consumers. After adjusting the scope, businesses tend to think about problems around software compliance, making sure their software can hold the data, compliance with the ISO 20022 payment file format, and making sure that their data is in fact ready for SEPA payments.
John, tell me about the software challenge.
So lots of businesses use many different software applications to initiate their payments. So they may well use an ERP system, which needs upgrading because it doesn't either comply with the SEPA data standards or can't generate the ISO 20022 payment file format. And of course, in many cases, these software upgrades can take a long while to schedule in and to make sure that they bed in correctly. And therefore, it's important for businesses to plan their software migrations in early. And of course, that's not just ERP systems, that's all of the HR systems, the systems for dealing with consumer or customer support, and anything which is related to collecting payments information, for example, the supplier extranet.
John, you mentioned an ISO. What's the implications of that?
So ISO 20022 is an international format for payments information. It's a way of standardising the payments instructions that a business sends to its payment service providers or banks. And because it's international, it takes away a number of the national standards that you might have otherwise have relied upon. It provides things in a much more straightforward way and enables businesses to centralise a lot of their payments operations. However, because it's an international standard, it requires a little bit of work to migrate across to those new formats. And therefore, it's necessary to actually deliver those payment file formats to the payment service provider in the right way and to make sure that all the fields are correctly filled in to initiate the payments correctly.
So, finally, in terms of the data, what are the issues there? Data's data.
Good point. And historically, a lot of these payments have been made successfully for years and years through their own domestic clearing systems. However, as part of the migration to SEPA standards and ISO 20022, it's necessary to move those bank account information to what's called an international bank account number. Again, another ISO standard, ISO 13616. This is a format which enables that a bank account from any country to be represented in a standard form. But of course, because it's a standard form, it's different from what you'd normally expect from an account, for example, in France or in Germany. And migrating across is not quite as straightforward as you might think, because it tends to be full of error. The accounts that sitting in databases within businesses tend to have a certain amount of error within them.
So this process of overseas payments has been going on for years and years. Why do we need to change it now?
So SEPA actually impacts not only the overseas, the cross-border payments, as you say, but also all of those domestic payments. So not just the payments between Germany and France, but also the payments within Germany and the payments within France as well. Those payments using the domestic clearing systems succeed because the legacy national systems are capable of coping with a certain amount of error. For example, if a branch closes, then it's possible for the banks in that country to route those payments to the right bank, if not the right branch. And therefore, and then the receiving bank can then say, we recognise where this account should be going to, it should be going to this particular branch. And therefore, the payments tend to get fixed. In Europe, this is quite common. And of course, the problem is caused by the fact that the fix is applied transparently. So the initiator of the payments is unaware that the payment information was incorrect when they started off. And therefore, from our research, around 1 in 8 bank accounts held in customer databases is in fact wrong in some way.
Well, it's clear there's a fair amount of work to do there. How long would a SEPA migration take?
So, to a large extent, it depends on the amount of work that a business has, how many business units it's got, and what the state of its software is. Those businesses that have consolidated on modern pieces of payment software have a much easier task than those businesses which have not upgraded their payment systems for a while, or have, for example, merged or acquired with a number of different businesses across Europe, each with its own set of systems. However, it's fair to say that in speaking with a lot of the businesses that we've dealt with, it takes somewhere around 12 months for an end-to-end project to migrate all the way across to the SEPA standards. And unfortunately, we've only got 10 months left, and therefore businesses that are starting now should really be in a rush to make sure that they use their resource in the most effective way. The danger is that businesses who start now are joining the end of a long queue and may not get through the SEPA gate in time.
Have you got any recommendations for businesses and corporate treasuries and how they apply their resources effectively?
So certainly any business that is starting now should look to use its own resources as effectively as possible. And they have to use external resources where they can to make sure they can fill in the gaps to make things more reliable. Businesses should certainly use their own resources where they must, but use external resources where they can to get them back on track for SEPA.
Well, SEPA end date is rapidly approaching and there's clearly a lot of work to be done. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
For more information on SEPA, simply log on to our website at www.experian.co.uk/SEPA.